This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about a boogie woogie, and I'm going to play one.
I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Welcome to the show. How's your week been, Mr. Paul Schultz?
Well, you're not even going to buy me a drink first. You're just going to jump right in.
Why don't you try a kiss, my boy? Try nibbling on her ear first. This has been a weird week for me just because I don't know why. It's been busy. And I took today off.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked my kids up from school, and my daughter's like, I told her I didn't go to work. She says, oh. She's like, you know, the standards are different for you not going to work than they are for me not going to school. I was like, yeah, pretty much. I said, because I get to decide if I go to work or not. She's like, I suppose, I guess you could do stuff at home, like emails and things like that. I was like, yeah, that's true. I said, some days I just don't feel like I could face it. I just didn't do that today. And I'll be much more productive tomorrow thanks to having today off.
Well, if I'd have known you had today off, I would have messaged you more. Because I know you take Fridays off sometimes. I thought, well, I'll wait till tomorrow and bug him.
Well, I mean, even when I go into work, there's a lot of poop time in there. There's a lot of poop booking going on. You can tell when I'm in the crapper because I post like 4 statuses and respond to all your messages.
Yeah.
You know how they've done studies that say there's more bacteria like on a kitchen counter than on the back of a toilet seat or something like that? And you're always like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't get that. Well, I get why. I'll bet there's more bacteria. There's like more coliform fecal bacteria on my phone than probably in a porta potty at freaking Woodstock.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because I'm not careful. You know how you wash your hands when you leave the bathroom?
Yeah.
People do. Some people do.
Yeah.
Some people wash their hands as they're leaving the bathroom. I don't wash my phone. But I've been sitting there handling it the whole time. You know what I mean?
I usually stand there by the door like a surgeon, you know, yeah. Waiting for somebody to come in so that I can elbow the door and
leave.
Go out. Because I'm like, because I don't know who touched that damn, you know, or, you know, reach up, try to get higher. Because, you know, I'm tall.
So the best idea I've seen in a long time
most people
was on a Facebook post. And it had 2 handles, one for people that wash their hands. One for people that don't. I'm like, that is the best idea I've ever seen.
That's pretty brilliant.
I think you would probably get a high level of compliance. Okay, we're going to do headlines in a minute, but I want to say something about compliance.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we feel like our society is going down the shitter.
Mm-hmm.
Pun absolutely intended. And I just want to say there are a few things that give me hope. One of those is I was at my daughter's basketball game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a school gym, and there's a door, an exit door,
mm-hmm.
with a, like a, you could tell it was just somebody printed a sign, like they typed it up in Word and like printed it out and taped it up there.
Right.
And it said, door alarm now active. If you open this door, alarm will sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about those doors. They're everywhere. Everywhere you go, there are some of those doors that are, mm-hmm. like you open this door, an alarm will sound. It's not locked. There's nothing keeping you from using that door.
Right.
Everybody knows it's for emergencies only. And if you open it, this big loud alarm's going to go off. Right.
Right. Right.
How many times it's everywhere you go, everywhere. Yeah. You go to the Aldi, there are some of those doors there. Anywhere you go, there are some of those doors. How many times have you been at a place where somebody has opened that door and the alarm has gone off?
Unless I do it, not never. I mean,
yeah, right? And when you think about society and what assholes everybody is, I would think it would happen all the time based on my worldview of how inconsiderate people are.
Right.
They would just be like, oh, it's an exit. Alarm will sound. I don't give a shit if an alarm sounds. Why should I care? I'm going out this door because I want to go out this door because I'm a little entitled baby. I'm going out this door. But it doesn't happen. So maybe my worldview is wrong and maybe people are more considerate and they comply more and they realize they don't want me using this door all the time. They can't lock it because then that would be dangerous if there's a fire or something. So they put a thing on there that says, we will embarrass the shit out of you if you open this door.
I mean, you're not gonna get arrested. It's just gonna be inconvenient for them because they've got to reset the alarm. So,
well, and some overweight dude in a fake security outfit's gonna come over to you and ask you why you opened the door.
Right. And what's the worst? What's the worst that's gonna happen? You know. But I worked at a medical facility and we had one of those doors, and once they go off, the police show up, and it's a whole big thing. So chances are that's why they have those on there. But one would think, how about just not having that door do that during business hours?
Well, there's some reason they don't want you using that door. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's unsafe. Like maybe there's traffic outside that door, or you know what I mean? Maybe there's there's something about that door. They don't want you using it.
It goes whatever to Narnia.
Goes to Narnia or something. That's all I'm saying. And so we will get to headlines in a minute, but maybe there's a larger lesson here. You know how we're always trying to figure out how to get people to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there are surprising ways to make huge changes. Maybe one of the, like, say there was some way that you could put in some sort of detection system that could tell if somebody washed their hands or not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you try to leave the bathroom without washing your hands and an alarm will sound. And there's a big sign that says, if you try to leave this bathroom without washing your hands, alarm will sound.
Right.
You know, and you don't say you're going to get in trouble or we're forcing you, you must wash your hands. No, we're not saying you can't leave the bathroom without washing your hands. We're just saying, if you try to, a loud alarm's going to go off and some overweight dude in a polo shirt that says security on it is going to come over and say, oh, did you wash your hands? You're going to have to say, no, I didn't. And he's going to go, oh, that's why the alarm went off. And then you're going to go, okay. And you're going to leave. You're not going to be arrested. It's not the big, like Big Brother or the hand of government. Maybe that's something we should do.
Or a black light comes on and you're forced to look at your hands. And the door, you'll never leave.
when we open our restaurant or our rest area or gas station or whatever, you and I are going to open a rest area. That's a business model right there.
It's minimal, the no panic, you know, rest minimal area. Effort.
we just think people should have a chance to rest.
That's right.
And buy bad coffee from a vending machine. That's what we're going to do. We're going to put a big sign. Actually, we don't even have to make the alarm. We don't have to, that's all we need. Oh, we can make some of those signs and put them in bathrooms and then set up a hidden camera and see how many people stop at the door when they see, if you open this door without washing your hands, alarm will sound. And see how many people turn around and go wash their hands. This could be a whole Don't Panic segment right here. I'm liking it. Should we do headlines?
This is a white boy day.
All right. This first one is from a magazine called Jezebel.
Mm.
And it says, and the headline is, Rami Malek got big fake teeth for Bohemian Rhapsody. But they could have been bigger. All right. I haven't seen the movie. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, actually I did. Me and my oldest went to go see it the other day.
I can't wait to hear about that. But first, big fake teeth. Did it look like he had big fake teeth? Is Rami Malek? I'm assuming Rami Malek is the lead.
Yeah, he plays Freddie Mercury. Yes.
And Did it seem like he had big fake teeth?
Yeah, but and in all actuality, they could have been bigger because Freddy had some big ass teeth.
So when you say could have been bigger, like it would have made the movie better for you if they had been bigger?
No, no, it would have been too. It would have been too distracting. In fact, I watched a video on like the differences between the history of Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody, and one of the things they talked about was the guy who was in charge of making him look like Freddie Mercury. His thing was, if you make, you want to give the impression that's the character, that's the person they're playing. You don't want to make him exactly like that, because then the audience is too hooked on the fact that they look exactly like the character or the actor or the star, and they don't watch the movie. It gives you just enough, you know, like what's his name, who was it, one of the Quaids who was Jerry Lee Lewis, didn't look anything like Jerry Lee Lewis, but because his hair on his head was going like this, you know, when he was playing the piano, you knew it was Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said for trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Nixon movie, or any time Nixon ever appears in any movie ever, okay, he's there. It's almost like they're trying too hard, and they end up looking like a dude in a Nixon mask, right?
Exactly. And they look like they're in Point Break, you know?
Yeah, right. Let the dialogue and the acting shine through.
Yeah.
The Doors. What's his name in The Doors?
Val Kilmer. Yeah.
By 10 minutes into the movie, I totally believed he was Jim Morrison, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at pictures of Jim Morrison and pictures of Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison, he doesn't look like Jim Morrison. I mean, he kind of does. Kind of favors him. That's what you need. You need him to kind of favor him. So that's what they did in this particular. So what is this? Is this a biopic?
Yes. Is this a biopic about the.
Is that a rockumentary?
It is not a rockumentary. It is a biopic, and it's very good. I mean, it covers the with a few artistic a little bit of artistic licensing. It's the history of Queen up until from when they started till Live Aid, which was I think 84-85 when they came. Basically, Queen essentially saved Live Aid. I brought a tissue.
It was funny. Oh.
Well, I brought a tissue because my daughter has inherited my love of Queen music. She knows like almost all the songs. And what was so funny was there's a lot of music in this. Some of it's actually Queen. Some of it's the guy pretending to be Freddie Mercury, him doing a pretty good impression of him. I brought a tissue because I knew there was going to come a point where she's going to, like, you know, start crying. So I look over, and sure enough, she's got the anime bubbles going on in her eyes. And I hand her the tissue, you know, and I get the dirty look, as, you know, as it was appreciated. But the funny part was, during the Live Aid concert, it's so loud that, you know, Arlo had, she snuck in a gigantic can of Arizona tea, you know, because she doesn't want to pay $8 for a small soda. So she's got this big can of tea, right? And it's empty by the time the Live Aid concert happens. And she takes it and she holds it over to me. And then she takes my hand and she puts it on top of the can. And the can's empty. That can is just going, boom, boom, boom. It's just, it's vibrating so much. It was just insane.
Was it a fitting tribute?
Yes. Unless you have a problem with watching grown men make out, go see it.
I'm going to tell my parents to go see it.
I think they
would. Tell them. I'm going to be like, Bohemian Rhapsody. It's about, it's like a Western set in Eastern Europe.
Yes.
And I'll be like, oh, that sounds good. And they'll come and talk to me. And they'll be like, and then the two men started making out. I looked at your dad and I said, oops.
Yeah. Didn't they go see, what was that, Brokeback Mountain?
Yes. And that is a direct quote.
Yep.
Almost. So like, we thought it was a Western. And in that one scene, you know that one scene. I was like, yeah, I know the scene. She goes, I looked at your dad and I said, oops. I was like, did you guys leave? Oh, no, we watched the rest of it.
Just, that, you know what to do at that point. Just sit your pants, dart running, and swim.
So good movie. Men make out.
There's a Mike Myers cameo in this movie.
Is he stabbing people? What's he doing?
Yes. No, it's funny because I won't say who he is because he's kind of an Easter egg. And he's got a pretty significant part, but he's wearing a lot of prosthetics. And every time he's on, I'm just dying because I expect him any minute to be like, get in my belly, you know, or something.
So he's really large.
Well, no, but you expect, you know,
the big
famous,
bopper.
The famous Mike Myers, like, oh, behave, you know, or some shit.
Well, I know, but so he's not. Okay. All right. So let's see. Is he Kurt Wilde?
No. Do you remember Tropic Thunder when Tom Cruise was the movie producer?
Yes.
And you didn't really, you weren't sure. That's how well they disguised Mike Myers in this movie. It's funny. Yeah, it's a good
movie. So the big fake teeth could have been bigger, but you think it worked.
I think they were just big enough.
As is.
Yeah, they were just big enough. I think if they were any bigger, they would just get in the way for, because, Freddie Mercury was born with him. He lived with him. He could talk with him. This dude put him on for, 9 months or however the hell long it took to make the movie. You know, he'd look like your grandpa on the roller coaster. His teeth would come flying out if he was talking too fast, if they were too big.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, this next one comes from the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, we're legit.
Yeah, right. Google picks Geisinger, CEO, to oversee healthcare initiatives. Now, what I love about this one, mm-hmm. this particular headline, is I have no idea what Google is doing with healthcare.
Do they own it now?
Unless they bought WebMD. I mean, what's Google? Put in your symptoms. Although there was this thing back in the 90s, or had to be after that. It was after Google was around.
Mm.
Google was doing this thing where they could predict flu epidemics.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on what people were searching for, and they were able to track flu epidemics faster than the Centers for Disease Control, simply based on people searching for symptoms of the flu or, how to treat the flu, home remedies for flu,
right?
That kind of thing,
right?
And then they would look at the data after the Centers for Disease Control actually, compiled all the data,
mm-hmm.
and they would find out that Google was right based on their particular analysis.
Well, let's hope Google didn't buy WebMD, because I hate WebMD, man. It's you're like, I have this red spot on my arm. I wonder what that is. Quick, red spot on arm. Cancer, you'll be dead in a week. Get your affairs in order. Shit, every time. Every time.
It's true. The good thing is they've been wrong about that 100% of the time for me.
Yeah, so far. Good.
So far, I haven't died. But you are right. I mean, it is the fastest way. So my wife is used to be somewhat of a hypochondriac,
mm-hmm.
but only for one specific disease, and that was appendicitis. No matter what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's a word for that. It's like a appendo hypochondriac or something.
Oh, I'm sure there
is. Like her finger would hurt, and she would somehow figure out that it must be appendicitis.
Yeah.
WebMD comes along, and it totally did away with that because, no, if your finger hurts, obviously it's not appendicitis, it's your finger. It's just a finger hurting, not appendicitis. You probably have finger cancer, and you're probably going to die in a week.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't know finger cancer was a thing.
Speaking of doctors,
yeah, what's up?
I have finger cancer, Steve. I have a week to get my shit in order.
Just have your finger cut off.
That's right.
That's got to be the easiest decision ever.
It doesn't work in zombie movies. It's not working for finger cancer.
Doctor would be like, you have finger cancer. I'd be like, chop.
That's right. Now I have.
What else? Now I have a bleeding finger. Could you fix that? He's like, yeah, sure. Watch this 30-second video. Take this survey. Right. But I'm bleeding out. It's only 30 seconds. Come on.
Well, I've had a lifelong problem with sleep, and for several years I was doing all right with it. Well, recently my sleep has been non-existent. You know, I get a couple hours of sleep a night. So I thought, well, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm one of them responsible middle-aged men who never goes to a doctor unless he absolutely has to.
That's me.
Okay. Well, I decided enough was enough. So my old doctor retired, so I had to find a new doctor. And I love going in. Look, when you take your kids to the doctor, I don't know how it is for you, but every time I take one of my kids in for the doctor, to visit a doctor, they'll hand me a clipboard and they'll be like, now we're updating our files, so fill all this out again. And I'm like, you mean I'm updating your files?
Yeah.
Because
we couldn't possibly have the technology to move it to update it from one system to the other.
It's like the more people they got working on that side of the glass, the more shit I got to do. But yeah. So because my own, you know, negligence, I have to fill out all these forms. Well, I have this new, they give you this Etch-a-Sketch and you got to push all these buttons on it. It's a lot of fun. And my problem is I can't sleep, and I have anxiety and depression because of it, as we've been laughing for the last half hour. But so I'm answering all these questions. I'm thinking, I really want them to give me Ambien so I can sleep, because all I need is fucking Ambien to sleep. I go through this every couple of years, so I'm trying to make myself into a basket case on this thing. Of course, you get to the question, the thing about drinking, and it's like, well, how many drinks do you drink in a day, a week, month, year? So, you know, as soon as you push one, then you got to answer, like, they're trying to make you out to be an alcoholic. So it's just all these hoops. Well, I fill out all this stuff, and just like in the movies or whatever, as soon as I'm done, a signal must go up because this lady peeks her head out the door and calls my name, and I'm like, oh, cool. You know, I think, done just in time. But I'm like, no, probably as soon as I hit that button, the signal went up and they're like, okay, he's ready. So this nurse takes me into the primary crime scene where they do your blood pressure and your height and your weight. And she checks my blood pressure and she's like, ooh, your blood pressure is a little high. I'm like, well, I'm pretty stressed out. So
yeah,
that's probably why. And she's like, okay, well, we'll take it again later. All right, so we go into the secondary crime scene, and she sits down. the nurse sits at her little desk, and she's asking me all the same fucking questions that the Etch-a-Sketch asked me out in the hallway. And she gets to the part about smoking, and she's like, "So, do you smoke?" And I'm like, "Well, no. I said every once in a while I'll have a cigar." And she goes, "Ooh." Classy. And I swear to God, her response, like, she must have like accompanied it with like a blast of like pheromones, because suddenly I'm like attracted to this woman sitting here. I didn't even look at her the first, you know, for the first 15 minutes of the whole thing, and I'm like,
yeah,
damn, she's pretty hot, you know. And it was like, and it was casual Friday, so she's got all these really good jeans, you know. And I'm like, I'm glad I came in here on a Friday. And she comes up and she says, all right, we're gonna check your blood pressure again and see if it's gone down. I'm like, well, that's not gonna work because I'm raring to go here, you know.
Yeah, like it's gonna be super low because all my blood's in my dick now. Like,
sir, I think you're dead. So she checks it, and as she's checking it, I'm like, I couldn't remember what her name was. I'm like, all right, well, you know, I'm a guy. I'm gonna hit on her, you know. I'm gonna see what she's doing after work or whatever. But I couldn't remember what her name was. So as she's pumping, doing the blood pressure thing, I look over at her ID badge hanging around her neck. apparently pheromones don't affect photographs. Because the picture in the photograph and what I was looking at, I'm not moving my head, but my eyes are going like I've got like, and I'm like trying to.
Like you're checking out her boobs.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, this is not even the same. And I'm thinking, so did this person steal the ID badge?
It was like Shallow Hal. But it didn't affect photos.
She sneaks into the office. I'm going to be a nurse today.
She just grabbed some random ID badge. You grab Fatty McButtface's photo ID.
Well, she tells me my blood pressure is a little bit lower, but we're going to check it one more time in a little while. And I'm like, all right. She's like, in the meantime, relax. And then she leaves the room. And then this other nurse comes in. And this is the funny part, because by the time this nurse comes in, after having dealt with the people at the front desk and this nurse and the nurse that came in, I'm like, now, I hang out, I frequent a couple of dating sites, okay? And all these women are on these dating sites. I'm like, no wonder these people all look familiar. I've seen all these people.
Oh, you knew them.
I've seen them on these dating sites. And I'm like, every single one, it'd be like, you know, for occupation, they'll say like medical because they don't want to say, you know, they don't want to say that they're basically a secretary in a medical facility. Well,
that's too funny. So
this nurse, she, you know, she checks my blood pressure and
swipe left. Oh, swipe right.
It's like, ooh, classy. Well, she, you know, she does the same thing. She's like, all right, well, calm down a little bit. The doctor will be in a little bit to see you. Okay. Well, the doctor comes in a little bit and we're talking and she goes, after she runs through all the same questions that they have to ask you over and over. I think they're like cross-examining you. They're trying to like trick you or something. She goes, you're at that magical age. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, you're 50. I'm like, mm-hmm. She goes, well, we want to give you a colonoscopy. And I'm like, I mean, I came in here for some Ambien. And she's like, well, we want to cover all the bases. And I'm like, oh, okay. She goes, or there's something else we can do. She goes, it's a little less invasive. I'm like, what's that? She goes, well, you could take the test at home. I'm like, All right, you know, because I want to know what this test is. I'm like, all right, I'll take the test at home. She goes, okay, well, a nurse to come in and explain for you how to do it. In the meantime, we run through all these questions, and she doesn't want to give me Ambien because it's addictive. And I'm like, but I'm 50 years old. I took it for 2 months 3 years ago. I think I'm okay. But no, we want to do a sleep study. I'm like, but I don't sleep. So I'm going to let them waste their time with that. Well, finally, she just felt guilty or something. She's like, is there anything we can do for you? I'm like, well, I said, can you clean my ears? Because I have like my left ear is jacked up because of a shooting injury from years ago. So every couple of years, I like to have it cleaned out. And she's like, okay. So the same nurse that will explain to you the procedure will come in and clean your ear. And I'm like, okay. I hope she doesn't get the two mixed up.
I don't know. I kind of hope she does. It'd make a better story.
After a little while, this like, I don't know. I think I'm on my fifth nurse at this point. She comes in.
And you know all of them from the dating sites.
It's uncanny. But she comes in before she cleans my ear. She goes, okay, here's what you got to do. She takes this piece of paper out. It's like a scroll or a roadmap. She goes, now take this. Tape it over your toilet. And then she's being all delicate. She goes like, now, and then poop. And then take this and stab it 7 times in 7 different areas. I'm like, what am I, like, see, like, you know, fucking Brutus. We're all killing Caesar.
Wait, what are you stabbing?
Yes,
your poop,
just stab paper? Your poop like 7 times in 7 different places. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm thinking, all right, I've changed poopy diapers my whole life. I can do this. This is
like, who invented this?
This is nothing. I can do this. She goes, now there's a second one in here, in case you know you a second, you know, piece of paper in here in case you mess up. Now I got to thinking about it. I'm like, okay, I weigh 220 pounds. I'm fairly certain anything that comes out of me is gonna require reinforcement for support. So,
so you're gonna put two pieces.
So I'm gonna end up having to use both of these things. So
then what do? You wrap it up, put it in a bag, send it in?
Essentially,
what
yes.
What do you do with it after you?
Essentially, yes. And I'm like,
this... Like, are you supposed to leave the poop on it? Or you, then you dump
no,
the poop
no,
out
the,
after you
it's like
it?
A little, it's like a little reverse eyedropper that will have the fecal matter in it, and then that's what you take in. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to walk in.
Okay,
here.
So you're taking
there you go. Poop.
You're taking a sample of your poop. You're not bringing in the entire load.
Right. And I'm thinking, this can't be accurate at all.
No, it can't. I mean, okay, we're like, well, we could either put a high definition camera up your ass and look in there for polyps and signs of cancer, like look at all the walls. It'll have a light on it. A doctor who knows how to look at these things, he'll know what he's looking at, and we could do that. Or we can give you this eyedropper and have you stab your poop and send in a sample of it.
7 seems a pretty specific number.
Well, 6 isn't enough, and 8 is just overkill.
So she's trying to fold up this.
That's just poop science.
She's trying to fold up this roadmap to put up because she was trying to show how to work it. So I can't seem to fold these things up. I'm like, yeah, it's like folding up a roadmap. So she basically wads it up and puts it in the envelope, and then proceeds to clean out my ear. She goes, it's gonna feel like I'm pumping water in your ear. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Because that's what you're doing. You know, so
pumping water
by the time she gets done, I'm stone deaf because I got water in my ears. And she goes, then she hands me these papers. She goes, all right, well, we'll, you know, turn in your get blood work, turn in this test, and then we'll have an appointment in a month, a follow-up appointment in a month. I'm like, at this point, I'm just exhausted. I'm like, okay. So, smash cut, I'm standing in the parking lot of this doctor's office with a roadmap that I can't put back in an envelope, and I'm deaf, and I'm like, what the hell just happened?
I didn't get any Ambien.
I didn't get shit. I'm just like, I guess I gotta either go to the doctor more or just never go back again.
The bitch of it is, like, the thing that probably kept you from getting Ambien is the fact that you came in and asked for Ambien.
Yeah, probably.
You know? It's like, the hell? I wonder if there's like an online thing, like, we could just go online and get
some.
Oh,
I'm sure I could order some from like Canada or like, you know, Colombia or
some quack doctor will, you know, write you a prescription or whatever. Man, that's pretty funny. There's nothing funnier than going to the doctor and getting instructions on how to poop on a piece of paper when all you wanted was some Ambien.
That's pretty much it. So needless to say, when I go back in a month, I'm gonna check that nurse's ID just to make sure.
I think we should end it with that. And we're never gonna beat the doctor's story or the Bohemian Rhapsody review. So thanks for joining us. At some point we hope to get Superfan James on to tell us how he thought of the Halloween
episode.
He
was scheduled this week, but he fell ill, so he can't make it.
Yeah. Like, he was sick like I was sick today and didn't go to work? Or was he actually sick?
He claims, he told me he was pretty sick, so, yeah.
Okay.
He's got a little one, so I gotta believe him that he's sick, because your little kid will get a runny nose and you'll be like at death's door like 2 days later. They're bouncing around, but you're half dead.
In that case, for Rami Malek and his big fake teeth, and for all of the tender nurses at Paul's doctor's office, and most importantly for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. And nothing you just heard was true. Was true. Was true. Was true.
That's what we keep inside our minds. That's what we keep inside our minds.
Sometimes, Mouse, you think you know people, and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.